Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. And we are in week six of our series dealing with Psalm 28 today. And we're going to take a pause from our study in the book of Luke. And on Sunday, we went through the 28th Psalm. And so that's going to be the center of our focus this week. And this is episode 26. So we have been really at this for a while. And I hope that you've really been enjoying these sessions. I enjoy teaching them. I enjoy going back over the passages that we deal with on Sunday and maybe getting to expound them a little bit more sometimes, allowing us to just take little pieces and focus in on those. So I hope that these are an encouragement to you. And I also want to mention that if they are an encouragement to you, you know, consider sharing them with others and letting them know about them. And my desire more than anything is to just keep us thinking on the word throughout the week, to be meditating on it and allowing it to take root in our hearts. Again, we're in the 28th Psalm. So if you have your Bible, I'd like to encourage you to take it. Let's look together. And I'm going to read the Psalm in its entirety, but this morning we're just going to focus in on some introductory thoughts about Psalm 28. Here's what it says. It's a Psalm of David. He says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked, with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbor, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operations of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusteth in him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up on it, not just over the weekend, but really over the last week, is full of some very rich truths. And I believe that this psalm is something that can be extremely helpful to us in the time in which we're living. The title of this section that we're going to be talking about is Comfort When the Culture is in Chaos. I don't know about you, but I feel that our American culture is in chaos. And it's not just our American culture, but it's the Western world. People are not thinking clearly about some of the most basic matters of life. And so in our introduction, I want to talk about some very important truths that we find in God's Word that help us to appreciate what David is expressing in this psalm. The first thing I'm going to mention is that cultures go through cycles. And what I mean by that is that cultures go through seasons where there is stability and there is strength and there is wisdom. And then as time goes on, those cultures begin to deteriorate and unravel, and ultimately God has to deal with them in a very difficult and harsh way. And God's dealt with nations all throughout history this way. In fact, the most obvious example of this is how he's dealt with the nation of Israel. What I'd like to do is kind of show you what he says to the nation of Israel as a warning to say, look, you go through cycles as a people, and I'm going to have to deal with you when you do not do the right thing. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is the passage I'm going to mention. Here's what it says. It says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee, beware that thou not forget the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou have eaten and art full and hast built good houses and multiply thy silver and thy gold, then thine heart will be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." He then goes later on and he says, if you do this, I'm going to have to judge you as a nation. Now, I am no way suggesting that America is a new kind of Israel, okay? But what I am suggesting is that the cycle that God is warning the nation of Israel about in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a cycle that we see in other societies. the fact is that the gospel has had tremendous liberty in this country. And as a result of the tremendous liberty that we've experienced in this culture, it's given strength and stability in our homes, in our society. It's allowed people to prosper as a result of, you could say, the downwind effects of how the gospel impacts people's lives. In the same way that God would warn the nation of Israel, when you have experienced blessings, you need to be very careful that you don't set your heart on those things and turn away from me, because if you do, you will become a land of idolaters and I will have to deal very swiftly with you. That same principle would apply to other people as well. The fact is, when a group of people have access to the truth and the gospel, and there's prosperity as a result of that downward effect of the gospel, people can become complacent. And this is something we're witnessing in our own culture. The second principle that I'm going to mention is that God holds peoples accountable for their actions. God didn't just deal with the nation of Israel in this way. We have examples of God talking to the Egyptian culture, the Babylonian culture, the Greek culture, the Assyrian culture, cities like Tyre and Sidon. You can go through lots and lots of examples. Nineveh, the Assyrians. God basically warned these people that if you become a corrupted people and you disregard me and ignore my ways, there's going to be a point where I'm going to deal with you as a society. And you know what? God did that. We see the warnings of it, and we see the historical playing out of it in Scripture. The third principle I want to mention is this. When God deals injustice with people, His justice is always measured. It is controlled. God is sovereign when He executes His justice. And we see an example of this in lots and lots of portions of Scripture. But the one that I think is perhaps the most significant example is in the book of Ezekiel. In fact, we see this principle come out many, many times in the book of Ezekiel. But the chapter that I want to draw your attention to is Ezekiel chapter 6. He says this in verse number 4. Your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken. Okay, he's talking about the fact that there's idolatry in Israel. God is going to deal with that idolatry. He's going to destroy that idolatry, and he's going to deal harshly and justly with those who are a part of this very evil system of idolatry. He then says this, I'll cast down your slain men before the idols. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste. The high places shall be desolate. Your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your images cut down. And then he says this, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have somewhat that shall escape the sword amongst the nations. When ye shall be scattered through the countries, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations wherein they shall be carried captive, because I have broken down their whorish hearts which departed from me, and with their eyes they go whoring after the idols. They shall loathe themselves and the evil which they have committed of their abominations. They shall know that I am the Lord. Now, this is a fascinating thing. God is saying, I'm going to deal with this country. I'm going to deal with this culture, this people, because they are idolaters. However, in my justice, I will preserve a remnant because I'm not done with this people. What's amazing about the nation of Israel is, though they were swiftly judged, they still exist as a people. Many, many Jewish people came to faith in Christ in the first century after the Lord Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. Think about all the people that were converted at Pentecost and how many people in the early church were of Jewish origin. Why? It's because God preserved the people as a remnant. And by the way, God is going to do His work in His people again. The point is that God cuts it back so it can grow back. And sometimes there's an illustration that I remember in the book of Isaiah that I thought was very fascinating. He says, I'm going to cut the tree back to the stump, but I will not uproot the stump. Why did he say that? Because he said, I'm going to remove the waste so it can grow back vibrant and fresh again. And this is how God works. Nations go through cycles. God holds peoples accountable. His justice is measured. He preserves His people. The fourth point that I want to make is this. Every generation of believers has been caught in this cycle. You know, we could talk about people that lived during the time that Fox's Book of Martyrs was written. There was a remnant of believers in England during the time that there was tremendous persecution going on. I could think about how many believers there were in Rome during the Roman Empire's first, second, and third century time periods. And many, many Christians were persecuted. What's the point? The point is that the Roman Empire rose, it fell, Christians suffered persecution, but God preserved his people. And so every single generation finds themselves somewhere in this cycle that goes on throughout human history, the cycle that will continue on until the Lord Jesus returns. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9 says the following. It says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left us a small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and as Gomorrah." What's he saying? He's saying God chose not to do with us what he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. Those cities were utterly destroyed. Nobody survived, save Lot and his family. Well, not even his entire family. He said, "But I've not dealt with the nation of Israel in such a way." He said, "I've preserved a remnant of my people." And so as God is executing justice, he's also preserving a people in the midst of that justice. And the purpose of him preserving that people is for what? It's for a future rebuilding of his work in that group of people. This happens in nations all around the world, places where the gospel is thriving and churches are being established. And then as time goes on, the church is persecuted, the church is beat down, and in a society that is thoroughly corrupted may go through tremendous hardship. Perhaps it's a terrible war, or famine, or some kind of thing that humbles people. And then what does God do? God allows that remnant that's left to begin to evangelize, and churches are started back up again, and you begin to see God's work continue again in that culture. And all of a sudden, God's word begins to take root in people's hearts, and the gospel is influencing a generation of people in a society where it was nearly extinguished. This is the way that history works. I'm reminded of what Jesus says. He says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He's talking about the fact that he is the Christ. Jesus builds his church. Jesus preserves his church. There's nothing that can stop him from doing his work. And so I want to begin with that as an introductory thought to remind you, as we get into this Psalm 28 passage, cultures go through cycles. God holds people accountable. He is just, but his justice is measured. Every generation is caught in this cycle. Either they are being preserved or they are rebuilding, but they are a part of what God is doing in the world. I hope this will be a challenge to you as we get into this passage. I look forward to tomorrow's lesson as we begin getting into the details of the 28th Psalm. Have a great day. Bye now.